So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:01 here in the Bayou City. Hour number two already. Let's run over to Venice, Louisiana, and see if Mike Jeffcoat's catching anything this week. Mike, good morning. What's up?
Oh, opening day of tail season. That's what's up.
Yeah, it is. Opening morning jitters.
I don't know about all that. But
there's a lot of gung-ho hunters heading out right now.
Yeah, and I ain't even unloaded yet. So I hadn't seen too many. They was thick as fleas yesterday. But out there running around like heads cut off.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I ain't seen the first deal.
I'm hearing that from a lot of people. And then other guys, that been setting up, brushing up and getting ready, decoys out and all that, they're seeing a lot of
them. Yeah, well, I think that high country over there probably got some birds on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The boys haven't spent a lot of money on water this year. All that rain we had, is all that's gone. So everybody's having a pump now.
Yeah, it got dry, man.
Yeah, it got dry here even. Anyhow, no, all was good. Wasn't too good back to the Astros.
No, it was pretty miserable game.
Yeah.
At least it went by fast. When you're not getting a lot of hits and base runners, it goes by quick. They don't need base runners. They just hit solo shots.
No.
Bombs away. Four homers last night. We're lucky to get four a week.
Yeah, no kidding. But now we're into the fall pattern, except them trout are still outside. You know, that river ain't got cold enough.
Right.
Let them slip in there. And I pulled up down around the second spillway yesterday morning trying to catch some trout. Jerry, first cast, big old gaff top. I said, well, you right on par, Jerry.
Yep, he's living up to his legendary status on gaffies, man.
Yep. Anyhow, there's bait, just a ton of bait everywhere, and there's a little pass coming out, dumping into that bay. And I said, man, something ought to give here. And finally, them birds woke up, went working a little bit, and I got on top of them birds. And I probably went through 50 jig heads in a period of about an hour. Nasty boat. Them ladyfish were thick.
They are over here, too. Got a lot of that garbage. Gaffies and ladyfish. Them skippies.
And I'm talking about billions, too.
Yes.
Yeah, them.
Boy, I wish we had as many trout as we do all that other junk, man.
Yeah. I mean, we probably caught 50 trout. And I think we kept 14 of them in the league.
Yeah. A lot of little trout right now.
Yeah,
y'all bunch of sand trout. Yeah, I was just fixing to ask you about that. How's y'all sand trout, your white trout population?
Well, evidently they're pretty good. You know, they just wasn't, Jerry would have kept, he would have kept a mess of them to eat, but they just didn't have no size. I think we kept maybe one or two, I don't even remember. But
yeah.
They just wasn't quite big enough. But evidently it's pretty good. So I haven't tried to target them none, but I bet you there's some of them in that passes. So.
Yeah, and those deeper spots, probably bigger ones there, huh?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I see a boat turn around coming back from the marina. It must be a madhouse.
Uh-uh.
Shall find out here shortly. I'm nearly there. But
how far is your lodge from the marina?
12 miles.
12 miles? Yeah, that ain't bad.
Yeah. No, I'm up there at Beards.
One road in, one road out, baby. Don't let the tide get too high.
Yeah, no kid. But now we left there and I stopped home. Well, I actually didn't stop home but two drains. And the first thing I stopped on, it just didn't happen. I mean, didn't catch nothing on it. It
really?
One of my better little drains. Yeah, I'm talking about something right here. I was looking, and I could see bait underneath the water. You know, It just wasn't up on top active. And we were sitting on pretty slack tide, and that east wind's been blowing over here all week, and that water was stacked up. I mean, water was high yesterday, and that wind blowed hard enough it just wouldn't let it turn around, you know. It tried, but the second drain I went to, I think we caught 19 out of it, and we stayed on it pretty hard and caught a bunch of trash fish. I mean, once you got that bait past the mouth of that drain coming into that bayou, mm-hmm. or canal, you better reel it in, because the attack mode was sitting there on the edge of the ledge. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'd reel mine in real fast. I couldn't talk them into doing it, but I'd beat half a dozen of them ladyfish swimming behind that bait trying to catch it, you know.
Yeah.
Said, look, guys, I said, you know, when you feel it come off that ledge, pick it up and reel. You know, ain't no sense staying there. But, then I was on the west side and most everybody was in the river and then passes on the east side, and I wasn't getting much radio. Couldn't hear much on the radio because I was too far from everybody. And I finally come out of the first spillway and hit the river, and I started hearing chatter, and I ain't got but two, and this was 10:30, 11 o'clock. I'm going right. And I was on that east side and pulled up to a drain. Caught a flounder out of it and some short redfish. And, well, they ain't quite lined up to the highway, but they're close.
Busy morning.
Oh, it's, you know, and it's just aggravating.
Most of them duck hunters?
Oh, there's a lot of guides out, too. It's that time of year to be busy on, you know, with the guides. But
mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You know, most of these duck hunters, they done got here, but they ain't all that far out on the highway. There's not a spot one available.
Now, that always,
I see right now,
you know, interested me, you know, duck hunters and them mud boats and stuff and running that river and crossing it and everything. That's, man.
Yep. The
braver than I am.
Hey, I need to see if I can get you off Bluetooth. Hang on a minute.
All right.
I'm fixing up to get out of my truck. So.
Man, that was clear for Bluetooth. I didn't even realize you were on it.
Yeah, I'm on my truck. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Yeah, I gotta get my boat unhooked and get back down here.
Well,
so at least the ramp wasn't blocked up when I pulled up, but like I said, find a spot to park. Might be interesting.
Y'all's parking area, how many trailers can y'all hold? Truck and trailer?
I don't know. 150 maybe.
Man, that's big.
Well,
well,
I'd say that.
Small load, isn't it?
Yeah, it's small right now, I can tell you for sure. But,
what have you been throwing at your fish, Mike? What are you kind of fishing? How are you fishing right now?
I'm throwing a down south tail on a, you know, I'm trout fishing. I'm throwing a quarter ounce, but once I get in them drains, I have to go to a half ounce. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I could fish a 3/8, but it's, I just soon get to bottom fast I can, you know, trying to stay away from them.
Get through all the junk.
Get through all that junk. Hang on just a second.
All right.
Well, ain't this nice?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, there's people blocking people in left and right.
They turn their lights off.
Yeah, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about they were just blocking.
No, but
amongst
I mean,
people
the
are parking
people
like
there,
idiots.
Are they getting smarter and turning their lights off these days instead of bright lighting you at the ramp?
All us guys do, but, yeah. You know, all that bunch weekend warriors, they don't know no better. So.
That's hard to back a boat in when you got blinded by the lights.
Yeah, especially these lights today.
Yeah. Yeah. They're much brighter. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you fly out of here, man. I know you're busy and all that stuff.
Yes, trying to back in here one hand is a little tough.
Yeah, sometimes it is. All right, buddy. Throw
out a
number
later on.
He wants to come over and get with it.
832-338-9376.
All right.
Come get you some. All right, bro. I'll let you later.
All right. Later.
Bye.
All right. You know, folks, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and best processing facility I know of in these parts. They do such a fine job. You know, with hunting season right around the corner, I mean, bow season's fixing to open up next weekend, and, hey, no better place to have your wild game taken care of and processed than the Belleville Meat Market. You know, their drop-off system, it makes it so much more easy and convenient. They unload your game for you, and then when you go pick it up, they load it up for you again. Great service. And they have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And, you know, along with pecan pulled pork and homemade hot dogs, they're available on the menu also. And their chuck wagon patties, this has been a big hit. Half-pound beef patties, they're seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese, along with their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky and turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. So the Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5:16 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down G-Town way and check in with old Captain James Plog. Hey, man, what's going on, James?
Oh, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Oh, trying to get ready to go. Get out of shower.
Trying to get ready to go without what?
No, I said I just got out of the shower trying to get ready to go.
Oh, just got out of the shower.
Hey, you can't be miserable all day if you don't go early.
Well, that's true. You got to go early.
It's kind of like you're going to drink. You can't drink all day if you don't start early.
That's true. I got a fishing buddy that he uses that phrase all the time.
Ah, but that's it. It looks pretty nice, man. It got nasty yesterday. Yesterday,
the
it
wind
blew
came
hard.
Up, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I saw it. We were going to go. They changed all that forecast. And hang on just a second. They changed all that forecast. And I said, man, this goes straight to like 15 miles an hour, man. So we blew it off. It looks like a little bit better today. There's a little old line of showers that come in, all that kind of stuff yesterday.
Yeah, Hillman said he saw a couple of funnel clouds, you know, water spouts.
You know, you only see them water clouds when it's calm. You know, like in the morning when everything showed up. When it's windy, you won't see them. Hey, one time we were way out there, man. We're way to the north, I think. I was about 10 miles offshore. It was like a mirror. There's a water spout. I said, man, drive over there to this thing, just see. And, man, we got real close to it. He didn't really feel nothing. I didn't drive through the middle of it or nothing, but I drove right to it.
Like a little dirt devil.
Yeah, remember them little dirt devils? I don't know if that's what you'd call them anymore. That's what we always called them.
Well, I tell you what, I was waiting to Van Toon Islands one year, and a water spout came through there, and we all just sat down in the water with just our necks sticking up and rods out of the water. And, buddy, it came through there. Remember all those old salt cedars that used to be on the islands when there used to be islands there? It sucked them all off of there, man.
No kidding. They were gone.
Oh, yeah. Man, and I'm trying to remember who I had that day. I don't know whether it was Joe Petty and David Faust or not. I know it was a good crew that always fished with me. They weren't scared. They just sat out on the bottom and let her come through, buddy.
Oh, my guys ever got scared.
Hey, where are you going to go when you're a mile from the boat? I mean, hey.
Ain't nothing you can do. Like I told them guys one time, hey, there ain't nothing we can do, dude. We can't
just
stay
cowboy
out
up, man. That's all I
gotta
you can do.
I got to go home. What's the camera's old saying? You ain't got to go home, but you can't stay here.
That's true. Is he still in town, or is he back on the road again?
Nah, he went back to Port Aransas.
Did he?
And then he's coming back. You know, they're going to rebuild both them engines now, so he's down. But I think he's fishing on somebody's boat today. They're going down there out of Port A. Some old guy he used to know. But anyway, actually, they're fixing to leave like right now.
Yeah.
But we didn't do nothing. We went couple days this week, but man, it's never been right. I mean, we saw some fish right off the bat early. I said, man, this might be all right. And man, at 9 o'clock it went straight to like 15, 16, 17 miles an hour. But we went straight to 15 knots is what it went to. And it never got terrible, but it never was nice. And We were coming home because Larry had to go out of town. They'd go to Port Mansfield and do all kind of stuff. So he wanted to be in kind of early. And, man, about 2 o'clock, it started dropping out a little bit, about 2:30. Next thing we know, we done run like 20 miles back the other way, away from home. He said, well, it don't matter now. We might as well just keep fishing. So, hell, I think we got in. Me and Larry started laughing. We got in about 6:30. I said, that little half-day trip right there, man.
Yeah, that's an early one.
Somebody texted me the other day. I said, hey, man, this dude ain't calling me. I need him to do some work for me. Actually, this kid is going with me today. He was lit. He said, yeah. He said he's going to call you about 10 tonight when you get in. I'm like, come on, man. It ain't that bad.
Well, almost. Man,
we did, man. One day we left here at 6. And I pulled up here at 9 o'clock, and I'm like, man, I gotta be the biggest idiot on the planet.
Well, I still get fishing.
Well, I still get that mentality. Them fish are beating me. They beat me bad this year. And I get that mentality. I said, okay, man, I'm telling y'all, right? When it gets late, that current's gonna do whatever. I said, it's gonna get good. You know how it goes. No fryman syndrome. Millions of them. We're going to get them. We'll get them.
Yeah.
And stay there all night. Well, that's what I do.
They're on every street corner.
Yeah. There's was. He was right a lot of times. I've been wrong a lot of times, but I've been.
Hey, remember we all used to sit around and talk? Remember when Mike Williams, and probably the best tarpon story I ever heard was him and Jerry Allred. Remember they hung that fish out of the pass somewhere. He said it was the biggest tarpon he had ever seen and will ever see that Jerry had on, and the sun went down and they fought that thing on into the dark and then finally lost it. Remember that story?
Yeah, well, the longer you fight them, that happened to us, and this ain't trying to be a topper, but the same thing happened to us. I wired that fish up 3 or 4 times and I let him go. We done called Boyd's. Boyd's was staying open. They were getting a scale. I mean, this is him. This ain't like no maybe, could be, might be. It's him.
Right.
This fish is 230, 240. And, man, I was running Gary Pitts' boat. And about an hour, both off that fish for 3.5 hours. I've probably told this story a million times. But anyway, I looked at Gary and said, man, what kind of leader do you got on there? Because we were playing around with some 100-pound leader. So we weren't getting a lot of bites. He says, man, I don't know. I said, man, that's a terrible answer, but okay,
yeah,
we don't know.
That's not what you wanted to hear.
And it was just kind of a combination there. Number one, we didn't have a kill gas. Number two, it's dark. Dana and Chris stayed out there with me. And, man, I let the fish go. Now we got him. I got him on wire. For some reason, Gary was either behind me. He wasn't where he needed to be, or I was not where I needed to be.
Yeah.
I was trying to put a lip gaff in him, and that fish just kind of just shook his head. Just nothing. And just so much weight, and I hear this tick, and he just fades.
Oh, God.
Oh, dude, that's one of the few times fishing I really wanted to throw up. And I get all the stuff back, so the loop of the crimp, the crimp's still there, and the loop is broke. Where it just rubbed on that hook.
It just kept rubbing on the hook till it wore through.
And I've never rigged another bait since that day. Well, I didn't rig them, but I wasn't rigging it like that anyway. I've never rigged another bait that day, and that was a pretty good poke ago without chafing gear on it.
Right.
So you can fish 100. If you need to get bites, you think you're getting more bites, as long as you use chafing gear.
Yeah.
And I was telling somebody the other day, it don't matter. You catch 70-pound, 100-pound, nothing matters. You can rig up any way. Hey, you halfway do anything and still catch a tarpon. But one day, if you're fishing for that right one, just like Mike said, a sea monster is going to pile on there.
Yep.
And you better be rigged properly to catch him. That's like going to, let's just pick a rig out off Louisiana, Thunder Horse or something, and trolling around out there with BFCs. You know, to catch sailfish and maybe some small marlins. Dude, there's going to be a grander going to pile on something. He's going to feed you all that
stuff. Yeah, you're going to get a 700, 800 grander or whatever, and here we go. You're not
100%. That's like, same thing. Hey, man, we're going to go fish light tackle for big trout with spinning rod, 6-pound test line. Well, that's great. But a real big one gets on there, and you're not going to catch him.
No, you're not. You'd be talking about him, though.
Yeah, I was sick that night, dude. We come through the jetties. I think when we come down around the end of the side jetties, I think it was 10 o'clock. We hooked that fish at, man, like 5:30, quarter. So we had two on. Gary hooked one. We found them way out there deep, and it was late. It was rough that day. We would see some fish in these waves.
Yeah.
And then it started fading out. It was a northeast wind. And for some reason, I saw something. I was way out there deep, but even off of Galveston. I never forget, I was like 48, 49 foot of water. We got him. We're trolling around in there. Boom, Gary gets one. Gary had one maybe casting. No, he hooked it on a trolling rod, but I'm still going. It's like a 100-pound fish. So I'm still trolling around. I'm looking at all these fish. Man, a short rigger goes down. Boom. Bo gets him. And the first time that fish fly out of the water, I just looked at it and said, that's him. It's probably to this day probably still the biggest tarpon I've ever seen. And I looked straight at Gary. I said, hey, you can either catch that one or you can break him off. I don't care what you do with him, but this is him. We got to go get him. He took a 16, a Tiagra 16, and absolutely just dumped it.
Wow.
He couldn't come out of the water, Mickey. He was so big. Everybody's got a fish story, but that was the real deal right there.
Well, that's the way it was. Them two college boys I had that day that had them on that were both over around 200 apiece at the same time. They were so big they couldn't get out of the water good.
Yep,
you remember that day? That's when that was, I don't know how many acres of tarpon that was.
Well, that day was...
yelling at me on the radio, just turn the key off. You're in them.
I can barely see
your boat. You're a mile from me, and you're in them, too. That's how big that school was. That was stupid.
Yeah, and that's what people ask about this year. Man, you know, we see them. They go down. There's this and that. And I said, look, man, there's just not very many. I mean, there's not. When there's a lot, you see a lot.
Sure.
I don't care.
Same way with trout or reds, anything you're fishing for. That's the way it works.
It's the same. Hey, when you pull in there somewhere on a reef, and there's 50 slicks, and there's the center one, there's the smallest one right there. There's a bunch of them. You pull in there, and there's 102 slicks, and you catch three or four, well, there ain't many.
No, it's not.
It's pretty simple. But everybody's got pretty good at finding them. I was talking to Jamie Penner just a minute ago. They're going teal hunting. We've gotten real good at finding what's there. And it makes it look like, yeah, man, there's some fish, and there is. There is. But you better be on your game to find them, and it's just not easy. Where when there's a lot, just like that day. You know, that day I called, or Doggett called me, Ashley. You know, back then we had, you know, the Chronicle and Fish Reports and stuff.
Right.
And I never forget, I told him, said, you can ask these guys right here. Somebody, man, I think cell phones, Mickey, we had like bag things. There weren't no what this we got now.
Yeah, I had one, I told that big old one with a handle on it, you know.
Yeah, big honking thing.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, ask these guys right here. You couldn't look past the tarpon that day. You couldn't look offshore, down. You couldn't look past them. That's when there's a lot. And there were some days, I seen that two or three times last year, where you couldn't look past them. Like, man, you look down there like about three quarters of a mile. Man, I just saw one.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in them.
Uh-huh.
But every year's different, though. Nothing's always
good. I remember those days in those cell phones. 37 cents a minute. We thought, oh, that isn't too bad. You get your bill at the end of the month going, oh, my gosh.
Hey, there's no telling how much y'all cost David Calfee. Remember my old black truck broke down and he let me drive his truck and had, you know, the phone then was screwed into the dash.
Right.
It was big. Man, if you had one of them, you were big time, buddy. I was burning that thing.
That was that red Adair stuff right there, man.
Oh, dude, it was big time. I bet I cost David $1,200 a month talking on that thing.
Oh, man. That 37 cents a minute doesn't sound like much till at the end of the month, man. All those minutes add up and you're going, oh, my gosh.
Oh, hey, it wasn't nothing to get like an $800 or $900 phone.
No,
you
it
didn't
wasn't.
Get it from one time.
Hey, I remember I had a group out in a boat one day in Trinity Bay in the fall when the stock market crashed back in the day. And
yeah.
Those guys couldn't stay off my phone. I had one grown man crying in the boat. He had lost everything he had or something. I don't know. It was bad, dude. And I can't believe what that one day when the stock market crashed, they burnt my phone up for 8 hours, and I couldn't believe the cell phone bill.
Oh, you lost money on that day.
Oh, I went the whole big time. I watched four rich guys walk off my boat broke.
That was like 2008, wasn't it? Or
no, this was back in the 80s,
man. No, that was in the 80s. In the 80s, yeah. Hey, that's good. I always tell somebody, good, man, I don't have to cry about no stock market because I was broke when I got here. I don't care. Doesn't bother me, man.
I'm with you. All right. Let me knock this break out. I'll come right back at you, buddy. Hang on a second. All right, man. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop and have all your processing done. You know, deer season's right around the corner. Bow season cranks up next weekend, and here we go. It's already that time of year again. The good thing about the Belleville Meat Market, their processing facility never closes. They're open all year long, and what a great place to drop off your animals. Excellent sausage. All their products they turn out, they're second to none. And if you're looking to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue there at their meat market. That's served Monday through Sunday. Really good food, and you just can't beat the service and the quality of the Belleville Meat Market. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage products. And try out their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, dry six. It's all good. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:36. All right, James, we are back. We're after it.
Roger, buddy.
Hey, I got a text. Old Mike Johnson sent me a text. Said, ask James if he remembers that dirt devil center punching us in a Nipa dove hunting. In Nipa dove hunting?
Oh, yeah, it was a big one. It was almost like a tornado. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, we was out here at Canepa.
Canepa.
shit. It's a
where in the heck is Canepa? I've never been there.
Canepa's between Uvalde. I think this is right. Canepa's between Uvalde and Crystal City.
Okay.
I think you go, what would that be, west out? I think that's right. West out of Uvalde. We stay in Uvalde.
Yeah. I can barely hear you for some reason. Are you away from your phone?
No.
Oh, there you are. Now I got you.
It's better.
Oh, that was Jace. He said his bad. He had you turned down or something.
Oh, all right. Tell Jace don't be turning me down. I'm loud enough. Probably don't need to turn me down. But anyway, it's all out there in that stuff that Crocker hunts. See, yeah. Crocker started, I think this is right, you can ask him. I think when he worked for Budweiser, he was hunting with Layton, who was our guide out there. Mm-hmm. And that was many, many, many years ago. Right. I think that's right.
Long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
We were youngsters.
It's all out there in that area. Kenny went yesterday. He's at the ranch. I think Cameron said he was going down there tomorrow.
Did he do any good?
Man, I ain't talked to him. Yeah, we got a bunch of birds. You know, they kind of – here's the deal about where we hunt. Man, it ain't that many birds. Well, how long did it take you to shoot your birds, Bear? Man, I hunted about an hour. You know, it's kind of like fishing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you didn't get 10, didn't see 1,000? No, I caught one. Oh, that's terrible. But, no, it's actually – but then he – I guess day before yesterday – he said they all showed back up, and he said, "It's, you know, burn your gun barrel down." But see, here's what Kenny told me. Our Milo didn't make. You know, Tommy leases this to a farmer that farms it, and the Milo didn't make. But bordering our property, I think we're hunting on, I think this is right, like 2,100 acres, I think is right.
Mm-hmm.
And all that borders us now is sesame where it didn't used to be. And it's just crazy. The one year it was bad on that ranch, the farmer planted cotton. And Tommy, the owner, said no more cotton. I don't think they made no money. He said no more cotton. But the only thing that was really good then was like the tank hunting, you know, because there wasn't, you know, wasn't no feed.
Right.
Like anything, dude, if we ain't got no bait, whether it be a trout, a tarpon, a blue marlin, I don't care what you're fishing for. You know, and when you find these fish, sometimes we call it on the blue screen, they're sitting on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that tells me they're not feeding there. They're either probably moving, or there's, you know, a tarpon's a structure fish. He's sitting on a spot. He's sitting on hard bottom. He's sitting on something. And they just sit there like logs. Unless you run over them, you ain't going to find them. They're not in no bait.
Right.
At some point in time, they got to go get some feed. But yeah, I talked to Coon and Jeff and John and all them. You're talking about them pogie boats.
Yeah.
Man, there's always been pogie boats there, but they never really bothered us. There's something about, and I think I'm right about this. I'll ask Coon, but man, those fish are all on that east side of that river, and I think that's where them pogie boats. But Jeff and John, they're pretty influential over there in Louisiana. And them pogie boats, something's fixing to happen. You can't keep doing that. They just kill. I remember up here for us, really kind of how we found out kind of what was going on. They take no prisoners, dude. They take no prisoners.
No,
and it's
not.
All dead.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, those days are gone. I don't know how big a business, a pogey business is. It must be big. They build plants. And I don't think the Planet Cameron is still there. I heard Bill talking about that. I think it got wiped out. I don't think they ever redid it. But, well, man, it would stink. Remember when we were fishing over there, Mickey? All that pogey plant?
When we'd come in the back way?
Yeah. I think it's gone, though.
Is it?
But I'm sure they have another. I'm sure they got one at Morgan City or somewhere over there.
Yeah.
But, man, them coon asses over there, you start messing with what they're trying to do, they're going to light you up, buddy. It ain't going to be good.
Look how nuts they went over the raising those trout minimum length limits, man.
Dude, and they don't cut it no slack. It ain't like we're going to make a little noise and then we're going away. They won't quit, man.
Yeah.
Those guys are relentless. There's something else.
Big money.
Yeah, Jeff's. You see that picture that Jeff put on there, that dead one was hanging up in that net?
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah. But you get the repercussions, man. It all starts washing up on the beach. Well, they really don't have beach there. But there must be some over by Grand Isle, too, because Coon's fishing over there by Grand Isle. So there must be some over there, too, because that's the only actual beach they have over there. And he had some pictures of all that stuff washed up on the beach.
Oh, I've been seeing some photos and videos of that. It's pretty sad.
Yeah, Grand Isle is their beach. You go anywhere besides there over there, you go up into the marsh. There's, yeah. You know, like Galveston, let's go to the beach. You got 800 miles. I talked to Brian yesterday. He's seen a few fish.
Yeah.
He couldn't get no bites. He said somebody sent him a picture of a bottom machine. Said, man, I was on the stuff and a lot of tarpon. We just didn't see him rolling. He sent him a screenshot of his bottom machine. And he sent it to me. I said, man, I don't know about that. I don't know what kind of machine he got. So then I sent him a picture of what it really looks like. So this is what they look like.
Yeah.
He didn't reply back. So that means I don't know what he was marking. It all sounds pretty good, but it didn't look too good.
Looked good to him, and he thought he was on them anyway.
Yeah, well, hey, that's long. As long as you think you're on them, you got them. You're good enough.
Yeah, I like them big old boomerangs.
Yeah. What time is it?
It's 5:43.
Yeah, I got to get some fuel. I ain't got no fuel. I ain't got nothing.
What do you run out of your house, or do you have to run over to Pelican, gas up, and then go, or what?
Yeah, I got to run over there and get some fuel.
Run over there without getting run over.
This old boat that he's going on, this guy's been in Port A forever. And Cameron knew him from when he worked on the Legacy. He has a house here at Till Harbor. We got to laughing at him. It's an old 35 Bertram. They got nothing. He ain't got no Omni. They ain't got no Elon. They ain't got no AC. They ain't got no CK. His mother was on him last night. It was pretty funny.
Boy, Cameron's going to be roughing it.
Yeah, he said, y'all ain't got nothing but to have it, man.
That's what my old Uncle Jimmy had, was a 35 Bertram.
Yeah. Hey, all old Boston whalers come to Galveston, Texas to die and rot, and some fishing guy to buy them. All
rot, old Bertrams. Get waterlogged.
Yeah. Spend you about 40 grand on it. It ain't no good. And then all the old Bertrams, they all go to Port A to die.
Yep.
Just go down there and drown. Die.
I think that's where Uncle Jimmy bought his way back in the day. Some guy in Port A had a Bertram. He went down there and bought it and drove it back to Demi John.
That's where they come from, buddy. Hey, a 54 Bertram back in the day in the Gulf of Mexico was about the biggest time ride you could have.
It was. The 54 was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, man, they got a 72 Viking. Man, it's crude. Think about this. They're cruising at like 37 knots.
Nasty.
That's how the Coonass are over there. When they fish, a lot of tournaments on the east side of the river, big money. Hey, if it gets too rough, we just buy a bigger boat, man. Hey, this was too small. Give me a bigger one.
All it takes is money. If you got it, it's not a problem. Let's roll.
They ain't. If they got a 74 and it was pounding, they couldn't get where they needed to go, I guarantee you she's going on the trading block. We're getting 82.
Man, I just can't fathom the price of things now, dude. I mean, I see online where everybody's selling their used bay boats, $120,000, $132,000, used.
Oh, Mickey, it's crazy. Hey, there's an SCB. It may be Chances, but Chance Angel had one like that. It's got twin whatever it's got on it. Let's just say 400s.
Yeah.
I may be right about that. That's a 250 grand ticket, dude.
Yeah.
That boat.
Yeah, I'm just talking about regular bay boats. I wasn't even graduating to the SCB numbers.
Oh, no, just go get you pick one, a Blue Wave or an Epic or whatever these things are. By the time you get out of there, you're $120, man, before you ever, when you get going. And the problem about those things, I ain't ditching anybody's boat, but it's just kind of like a common boat. And the resale value is like, man, maybe not real good. So let's just say you finance for 20 years, put like $5 down, now you got you a boat. Man, in 5 years, you don't want it no more. It's going to cost you some money just to get rid of it.
I know. That's
It's crazy, man.
My gosh. It's what year model is your 25 you're running now? Is that the one you bought brand new?
No, Mickey, I had one built. And that was maybe like in, I can't remember, maybe 11, because I still got the first big time thing I ever had. I still got the deal upstairs. And then I bought one from Jeremy, and I sold it. That boat went to Florida. And this one, Bubba Pyle built this boat, and I bought it from him. And it's a 2015.
Gotcha.
See, they don't make that hull anymore. The Guardian, they don't make it. We did find out that they still had the mold. And when our guy that we dealt with over there was still alive, he passed away. I think Jeremy talked to him and said, hey, how about this? How about we buy five? And then it kind of perked his interest. Then we found out the mold is still there. They just don't want to build that hull anymore.
Right.
And then we thought about buying five, building them here, keeping what we wanted, and then selling the rest of them. Because it's a new boat. The problem about all these old nasty whalers, you buy one, hopefully it ain't waterlogged, you put you 80, 90 grand in it. Well, it's hard to sell because the guy that's buying it, you ain't going to the bank and financing no boat that old.
No, you got to chilly up the cash, man. That's true.
100%. It's a terrible deal.
All right, buddy. Well, I'll let you get to it. Good luck today. And if you're listening, the last segment we'll have live from the blind with Bink this morning. Since you're not teal hunting, you can hear some teal hunting.
Yeah, at least I can hear somebody
blasting. We'll blow something up. You got it, man. All right, James. Throw out a number. Somebody wants to call you, my friend.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
All right. Have a great day out there. Good luck to you, man. All right, buddy.
Bye.
Later. All right. Now let's track down old Sharky Marquez. I don't know whether he's still in Mexico or he's back in G-Town. I don't know. We're fixing to find out. Sharky, good morning. What's up?
What's up, buddy? I'm back.
Are you back? Well, that was a quick turnaround. That's a quick trip.
Yeah, it was, man. We had a blast, though. It was a great time up there. Or down there, I should say.
Down there, yeah. Well,
yeah, it was awesome, man. We got some fishing in.
Yeah,
and
how did that go?
It was good, man. We got us a nice striped marlin and a couple Dorado and lost a big blue marlin, but all within a mile or so from the beach. So
that's what's cool about there. You're catching billfish and stuff, and you're looking at people walking down the beach.
I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? It's really crazy. I mean, if I lived down there, I just feel like I would be pulling a plug or pulling ballyhoo probably 7 days a week. Every day that it's doable, I would probably be out there. It would be a big problem. It was awesome, man.
Where did
we
you
had
go
a great
in Mexico?
Time. We went to Cabo.
Cabo, I got you.
Yeah, we went to Cabo and stayed in a little place down there, and man, just had a great time. Just a little escape and little relax, recovery.
R&R, you bet, man.
That's right, brother.
Deserves it. You work hard all year to be able to do things like that.
That's right, man. That's right. So it was much needed. Today's the first day back. We just real quick. I know I don't got much time, but we're waiting for our bags, our luggage last night.
Uh-oh.
And the power starts flickering on and off at Southwest at the baggage claim. And there's a loud noise and everybody trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Well, make the long story short, we get our bags, but we're missing one, and it's my carry-on compact, like, pin, you know, combo that, of course, I took with me. I checked it, and it's not there. So we end up in baggage claim, and over the radio, they're like, hey, man, this thing is stuck. There's something stuck in the carousel deal down, you know, where they put it on from the plane,
right.
And we don't know what it
is.
Was
it your bag that hung up the carousel?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Is that what was making the light flicker and everything?
Yeah. I guess it had a safety deal or something on there, and and so, I mean, everybody's standing there, everybody trying to figure out. I mean, it was an ordeal, buddy. So they brought it out, and that thing is in, like, 8 different pieces on this tray. It was horrible, man. It was horrible. But what a crazy end of the whole deal. We ended up having to go back to baggage claim and doing that whole number. But man, golly, buddy. We almost took down Southwest baggage claim area, man. I mean, it was everybody's trying to figure out what the heck was going on down there. Good. It was just my rod and reel. That's it. Stuck down there.
Well, that's not good.
Goodness. It's all good, man. The good thing is I got about 200 other ones, so I'm sure it won't take me out of the game by any means, but
not hardly.
No, it was a great time, man. Guys have been crushing it here. Absolutely crushing it here, catching all kinds of
Cajun Chris, they're all piling on them.
They're doing great. They're doing great, man. Shane's supposed to be going offshore this morning. Looking like it's going to be pretty all right. I mean, maybe a little bit windy, but I think he's going to try to sneak out there.
Wind. You know, we've been having these real calm mornings, and then the wind comes up. You know, it fools everybody.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. You're going to have to be careful for sure. Keep his eye on everything.
Around, it's southeast at 1 on the Galveston Channel. Eagle Point, it's west-northwest at 3, and up at Morgan's Point, it's north at 3. And the buoy offshore, you know, that 22-mile buoy, it's been on the blink for a while now, but it's 1.6 feet with a period of 6 seconds. So that's nice.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, that's a full send. You know, just try to get out there as far as you can before the wind, you know, before the wind kicks up, and then you just got to ride it back in, you know.
Surf home.
That's the goal.
Surfing with the boat. Surf.
That's it. And then let's see, today I'm picking up the boat from SCJ when we were gone. I got a bottom job on the 36. So, you know, last time we did the bottom jobs was like on my boat was right when I bought it. So it's been a couple years, 2.5 years. And so it was time, man. We just knocked that out on the trip. It was nice. It was easy. Dropping that sucker off and not spending, you know, a week under it myself. So that was it's going to be very nice. So we're excited. I'm going to go pick up the boat today.
Who did that for you? Did they do it?
No, they facilitated it all and dropped it off.
I drove by there the other day. Fernando's truck wasn't there, so I didn't stop. I was going to Boyd's to pick some stuff up and man, that place was packed. I don't know how they can get another boat in there.
Golly, they're packed, aren't they?
They're just, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Well, they do a good job, man. You know, it's cool to watch.
They're packed because of the good work they turn out. Do a fine job.
It is super.
And I slowed down and looked at that FCJ boat. That's a good looking boat.
Isn't that thing nice? Heck yeah.
Very nice.
I seen it too, man. I was looking at it, and I don't know. My dad doesn't know this yet, but I'm going to try to get him to buy that sucker. He deserves it, man. He's worked so hard. And he's been talking about it. Yeah, hopefully he's not listening for once this morning. You know, I mean, hopefully he's sleeping in. But I'm going to try to get him to – Fernando said, come pick that thing up and go surprise him and take him on the water so we can because my dad, man, I just got to get him on it. If I get him on it, he's going to want that sucker.
Well, just take the paperwork with you and just have him sign on the dotted line, man.
Exactly.
All right, Sharky. Well, I'm glad you made it home in one piece, brother, and you had a good time.
Yeah, man.
I'm sure the wife enjoyed that. She needed that. So
yes, we all did. It was great.
Put out some info if somebody wants to get with you guys and come down and have a great time.
Absolutely, man. Would love to have you guys. Let's go make some memories. Check us out at Bayside Event Center right here on 61st. We have on-site lodging, facilitate corporate events, weddings, birthday parties, you name it. And we go hop on the boats and make memories right here in Galveston, Texas. You can Google us at Outcast Charters. Check out our trip packages and pricing right there on our website. Great. Hope everybody has a great one. Be safe. Good talking to you, Mickey. We'll holler back with you on Thursday, brother.
It's a pleasure. See you, buddy. Take care.
All right. See you, bud.
All right. That's Sharky Marquez. Time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.